Hey guys, if you're anything like me, you don't have a dad or a mom that can help you navigate corporate America. You're just out here thugging it out, trying to make it, trying to get promoted, trying to get the new opportunity, all that stuff. Whew. Listen, I'm creating a course and my goal is to help you set yourself up for success. And the result should be you should be eligible for promotion 18 to 24 months after you take this course. I'm so excited. I'm putting my heart and soul into this. Now, I just need to know, is this something you're really interested in? If so, go to trillmba.com and sign up in the pop-up. That way, when registration opens, you'll be the first to know. Thank you guys for all of your support. And again, if you have any questions or concerns, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. Now let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. I have a great show for you today, and it was all prompted by a listener named Kimberly. So in April, I got this email from Kimberly, and she wrote, "Please address ageism for older Black women over the age of 55 in the workplace. I think your podcast this week ignores this huge glaring problem for older women workers who no longer, quote unquote, make the boss's dick hard. And he doesn't want to either promote or hire older female workers. So that's why some of us who have bills to pay, grandchildren to help raise, health problems that quitting and letting God do whatever won't address. That was really glib and insulting to older workers who have a completely different set of workplace problems than younger workers do. Thank you." So I feel like Kimberly gave me a bit of a read there. I never intend to leave anyone out. This show is for Black women in corporate America, regardless of your age. However, I want to make clear to everyone, this show, the core audience, is people aged 25 to about 40, and I'm 41. So I want to make sure that I hear you out. And so if anybody out there feels like I'm being glib or insulting, first, know my heart. That is not my intention. And second, email me, because guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about it. So Kimberly, as promised in my email reply to you, today we are discussing ageism. Now, I know that most of my corporate warriors listening out there are not at the age where they have to worry about ageism. But in the blink of an eye, you will be grown. And life throws us all curveballs. So we're going to talk about this today and get real about what work is like as we age. So I want you to share this episode with your aunties, your moms, your grannies, and keep all these tips in the back of your mind, because God willing, you too will get, quote unquote, old. However, you know, Black don't crack.
This year I turned 48 years old. Thank you. I love telling my white girlfriends, because they give a sister love, you know, they embrace a sister. You know, they be like, "Oh my God, you are not 48. What's your secret?" I'm like, "Black." It's finally paying off. Took 50 years, but hey!
Today, I have a very special guest joining us for this conversation, Ms. Adrian. Now, Miss Adrienne is not only one of my coaching clients, but she is the mother of my favorite set of twins in the whole wide world, Alexia and Alexandria. The coolest thing about this mother and daughter trio is that they all have their MBAs. Miss Adrienne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, darling. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so happy to get to talk to you today because you have a testimony. And at the end of this episode, my intention is for people, no matter what their age, to be inspired through the ups and downs of the corporate journey because we're all going to go through it. Now, yeah. I don't even have to ask you this because I know you will keep it all the way true, but just for facts and just so the audience will know, I want you to say your truth however you feel most comfortable saying it, and I need you to promise that you're going to keep it true. So can you keep it true, Miss Adrienne?
Absolutely.
Awesome. And again, this is a safe space for all my listeners because I want us to have real perspective about the ups and downs in the experience of being a Black woman in corporate America. And that's why I do this show. I have to share with you a story real quick, Miss Adrienne. I was recently at a conference and I met one of my listeners. And I didn't even realize, but at the top of the show, I say my full ass name. I'm like, Felicia Ann Rose Nuha. So when this young woman realized who I was, she was like, Felicia Ann Rose Nuha. And I was like, whoa, that's my cold government name. What I do? Hold on. Because you know, my mama, when I'd be in trouble, she used to say my whole government name. Mm-hmm. But in talking with this young lady, she was just sharing with me how this show had helped her so much. And in that moment, I, you know, choked back my little tears. And like, I realized like, this is important. Like we need to talk about these things. So I want you to know that you are right now in this moment, a blessing and a gift to a lot of people out there who are currently struggling to figure out their career at whatever age. And so I want you to tell us a little bit about your career journey. So like, especially like the last like 2 or 3 years, and especially like the layoff you had last year. We know it's a big Fortune 500.
It's a big organization. So My career started when the girls graduated from high school in 2000. I decided that I would leave my management job and look to another company where my past husband worked. He kept telling me, come on, babe, you should come to this company. It's a great company to work for, you know, great benefits, make good money, blah, blah, blah. Union, yeah. So I decided, okay, I can do that. Let me go and see if they have any openings. So without his knowledge, I just did it one day. And, you know, got there and I passed the test. They gave me this little typing test and this other little personality test, and I passed it. I was like, wow, okay, let's keep going. So I got the job. They called me on a Sunday to say, you know, hey, we have an opening for you. Are you willing to accept the job? And you have to accept it now because I'm calling a lot of people.
What?
I was like, excuse me? I was on my way to church. Thank you, Jesus. And so by the time I got to church, I had a testimony because I was like, I'm taking the job. Mm-hmm. And I had to start like in, but within the week. I literally had to quit my job, give them a letter of resignation, but I was so ready. And they were so ready for me to go because they had stereotyped me. They had kind of, under new management, this engineering firm didn't like me, didn't like this sister girl that I was, mm-hmm. and wanted me out, but they were trying to, cause, you know, I was already almost over that age. I was in my 40s, and they wanted to kind of move me out, move someone in who had, you know, a degree that I didn't have at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to go. And I gave my resignation. He was getting ready to write me up and put me on a performance improvement plan. Mm. And I was like, oh, you can, no need. here's my resignation. You don't have to waste the paper and the energy. He just kind of looked really shocked. But, and I walked out of there and like, I said, I'd be gone at the end of the week. And they said, make it tomorrow. Not a problem. Oh. It will be tomorrow. And so I was glad I graciously walked out of there, like skipping to the train with my stuff. So, but that's when I knew I needed to get my degree. But I had to go to work first, right?
Right.
So I took this job and excelled, got promoted again, and I was doing my thing. And I was like, girl, go back to school. So during that time of being promoted and moving, I was also in the thrust of a nasty divorce. My husband of 23 years decided that he wanted to do something different. And I was not in agreement. And so at first I was like, maybe I can tolerate this. And I was like, you don't have to, girl. You don't.
Right.
And I said, I won't. And so he was shocked that I filed for divorce because I'm not sharing you with somebody else. And I know about it.
Right.
That was my story. So anyway, I got the divorce. And I decided at the end of the divorce, you got to go back to school. So I went back to school. Maybe a couple of years after the divorce. By this time, I had met someone else. We were dating, and I just needed to do it. So I went back and finished my undergrad because I had finished my undergrad. I almost finished previously, but then I got pregnant, and then I got pregnant with twins.
Right.
So it just didn't happen, right?
Right.
So anyway, got that undergrad, and then I was like, that's it? That was easy. So I decided, keep going. And I did. The company was paying for it. And I was like, what the heck? I can do this.
Yeah.
So I did. And finished my MBA in 2 years.
Get
it was not so difficult. I was like, I didn't know I had it in me. But I did. My daughters had already gotten their MBA.
Right.
And my current husband, he was like, well, why do you need to do that? You don't need to do that for your current job. It was the truth. I didn't. Once I got that undergrad, I really didn't need to get an MBA, but I wanted to push myself to see what I could really do and what I could really learn. And I wanted to continue to move up in money, honestly,
right.
Because I'm nearing my end of the work years. So I want to make as much money as possible at the end. You know, I wanted to come out slamming.
Yeah.
So, but a promotion, before I could get a promotion, my company moved me to another organization. They basically subcontracted me. Not just me, but 300 other people as well.
Right.
And most of us have been with the company for a long time because it's one of those big companies that people just don't leave. But
right.
They pay well. So I was like, what? So in the thrust of that, they basically said, yeah, and we're going to probably let you go within a year. But you got an opportunity to find another job within that
wow.
year. So, and you can't stay with this company where you are. You got to go. You come to us and find a job in our company. But who's going to hire someone that just came over to another company?
Right.
So I started throwing my hat in the job search. Looking, sending my resume, sending all kind of information, hobnobbing, trying to get to know people, trying to understand what I really, really needed to do to get another job because I just wasn't sure. And it wasn't working. Some of the younger white women were very successful going over to other positions. I had a degree. I had an MBA. What do you mean? I can't get a job.
Right.
Certainly, I qualify more than these other women. But, of course, they could see all my information because it's internal. They could see my age. They could see all kinds of things.
Wow.
And this company loved young white people.
Right.
They basically are known for hiring a lot of younger people of all nationalities,
right.
But certainly not a lot of young minorities.
Right.
Some minorities, but you know, the new minority is not the black woman. So,
right.
Anyway.
Keep it real. Keep it right. real, Miss Adrian.
Right. Yes. So I kept going and kept looking and kept looking, and it was time to run it out. They had started laying off people. So I was like, oh my God, let me keep looking. So I got panicky. it was, I could also go back to the other company. Finally, they had taken us off the list. So I started applying back to the other company, but different jobs.
Right.
Well, I was hitting it, all kinds of jobs, sales support, account management, all kinds of different positions. I didn't qualify, so they said, because I had never done some of these things before. Even though I had a degree, I was overqualified for some. Some people wanted me to do other things. I had an interview. This guy drug me along for like 4 weeks, every week telling me I was still in the running, still in the running, still in the running, still in the running. So I'm like, yeah, okay, but I got to keep looking. So I'm looking, I'm looking. Now I'm going outside of these two companies. I'm not only just looking in the company where I am, I'm mm-hmm. looking in the company where I came from, and I'm looking in the company, other companies, I won't say, but other companies.
External companies, yeah.
Yeah, I won't say, but all kind of external companies.
Right.
Yeah. So I just kept looking, and I was in the trenches. And that's when kind of I talked to you. So we started talking, and you started giving me some advice and telling me to narrow it down and not to be so panicky and so anxious. Of course, in the meantime, I'm laid off. I'm done. And, you know, go to unemployment. And that was a joke. And you go to these other resources, and that was a joke. But I still wanted to keep my health insurance. In the meantime, my husband was diagnosed with a condition that put him in the thrust of really needing some care. Mm-hmm. My mom got really, really sick. She was, you know, she's older. She's in her 80s. Mm-hmm. She's been sick a long time, but she got really sick, like,
right.
She's on her way. She's not doing well. She's right. not going to live long. And now here you are taking care of your mother, going to treatments with your husband. Just, you know, all this. I'm off, though.
Right.
Ain't no money coming, hardly. And I'm like, only the Lord, you know, only Jesus was carrying me through.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was making it through. I was so surprised, but I made it through. I actually got through the unemployed, the bills got paid, things mm-hmm. got done. We ate, mm-hmm. the daughters kicked in every now and then when they needed to make me feel better, to take me out somewhere. They paid a bill or two here, like, Mom, what do you, come on, just give me a bill. And they pay, you know, they took right. it, they paid it. And so I was grateful. I was blessed, but I started feeling really bad because I kept thinking, what's my value? Because I have all this knowledge and all this information. And I have an MBA. So didn't really matter. Every time I, you know, would put in the paperwork, I would get through the algorithms. I would get through to a hiring manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they would interview me on the phone. They can't tell how old I am on the phone. I didn't put all my information on the resume, so they knew I had been working for probably as old as they were. So, I didn't want to share that in, but it was the truth.
Right.
Most of those people probably reviewed my resume were as old, if not older, than I had ever been working. So, anyway, I finally started really trying to go back to the other company I came from. And I started getting some really interesting interviews. I was interviewed by a guy who was he was of African persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
He liked me. He liked the fact that I had an MBA, and he wanted to me to go up the next steps for the personal interview. But when it got pushed to his manager, she decided, nah, she doesn't have enough experience. She just has an MBA, so what? So I didn't get that job, but he was honest with me, he told me.
Right.
So I got a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of no thank yous, a lot of stuff. Then in January, I got a phone call. Hi, I got an email. That's how it started. Hi, I know you applied for this job in October, but are you still available for an interview? And I said, hello, yeah, when? And he was like, can we talk tomorrow? And yes, what time? Didn't want to appear too anxious, but I am.
Right.
But I had been that path before. I had done the phone interviews. Mm-hmm. I had done, you know, set dozens. So he said, yeah. We talked. Good conversation. Lasted about more than 30 minutes. I thought it would last only 30, but it went until like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so good conversation. And then he said, I'll let you know tomorrow or Monday if I can do a face-to-face? Because I'd like to know more about your experience in sales. And I was like, sure, no problem. I am more than ready to face this interview. So he called me back and he said, hi, I'd like to do a face-to-face with you. And I'm busy this week, but can you come in Thursday? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely, I can. And so I was thinking to myself, oh, Lord, I know this guy's younger than me. He's white. I can tell. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? How am I going to wear my hair? Because I have very natural hair, very natural. It's a twist out. So it's kind of a curly afro. Mm-hmm. It's blonde. It's not super short, but it's short. And I'm thinking, Lord, let me, how am I going to, what is he going to think when he sees this real full sister girl walk in the building?
Right.
Because I'm tall. I walk with distinction and I know it. My mama told me to long ago and I never forgot. So I had my hesitancy about that, but I'm going to be professional and I'm going to be corporate and I'm going to walk into this interview and I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I know all the questions because I've been asked them several times before. So I knew the answers, right or wrong or indifferent. So I'm very well practiced with interviewing. So, okay, let's do this face-to-face. I don't know, straight blue dress, a gray jacket. I don't think I had on stockings. I don't remember. I think I did. It's cold outside. And some just regular pumps at my hair, just neat. And nails, how we do it, polished and nice and neatly, but mm-hmm. not, you know, bright green.
Right.
So I get to the interview, and he, because I'm familiar with this company, I went in knowing people. So I was at a friend's desk asking her to tell me how I looked. What do you think? Is this approved? She was like, girl, yeah, you got this. And so I'm like, good, good. So I called him and I said, hey, Chuck, I am I'm downstairs. I can just come up the elevator. You don't have to let me in. He was like, oh, I see I have some friends that are still here. And I stopped by to say hello. He said, oh, sure, just meet me on the 14th floor. I'll be by the elevator. I'd already looked this guy up, so I know what he looked like. Mm-hmm. I had looked him up and found him in LinkedIn. So I get to the elevator, go up, and there he is standing by the elevator, shook his hand. How you doing, Adrian? Nice to meet you. Let's go in this conference room. We go in the conference room, and he just wanted me to talk about myself, tell me what I had done, tell me my experience. He didn't ask me why did I want the job. I was surprised. He didn't ask me that, but he did just ask me about my past experiences. He gave me some of those, you know, typical questions, you know, if this, then that, what would you do kind of things. And what are the three things that you would say are very good about you? And what are the three things that you feel are not the best about you? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I went to that. Okay. And then finally, this man wanted to have a casual conversation. He just started talking before I knew it. You know, I just knew not to say too much about the age of my children. So this is where I stand now. I don't talk about the age of my children, but I have children. I have adult children, and they're in their 30s. That's the way I say it. Mm-hmm. I don't say that they're 36, about to be 37. Right. But I don't want them to start doing the math.
Right.
You know, so they just know that I am probably, they probably think I'm over 55 because, you know, black don't crack, so right. I don't look. My
you
true
do
age.
Not. Yes.
And so so I am cautious in the workplace about talking about the age of my children. They know I don't have any grandchildren, so I assume that means maybe my children are in the earlier 30s. They mm-hmm. just haven't had kids yet. Whatever. I just kind of, you know, bumble around and talk about that very little. I don't talk too much about my history. I never tell them the year I graduated from high school, even though I'm very active in my high school alum, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about much about college. I don't talk about my MBA, but they know I have one. Right. So I just try to keep the conversation. Let's just keep it very casual, very focused on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the job. I interviewed on Thursday. He called me on a Saturday to offer me the job. And it was paying more than I've ever made in my life. Plus bonuses.
Get it.
More than I've ever made. I'm like, whoa. But it's sales. So it depends. It's all about performance.
Right.
But my base salary was even more than I've ever made. So I was like, this ain't nothing but God, because who else
right.
could do that? But it's work.
Yeah.
on my, and then I find out that the man who hired me was 28 years old.
Younger than your kids.
Younger than my own children. And that he was, you know, which I don't know if this makes a difference, but he was LGBTQ. I mean, mm-hmm. he was, and had a husband that worked for the same company.
Oh, wow.
He and his husband both worked there. And so, but that didn't take away from how I felt comfortable in his presence.
Right.
And how comfortable he felt with me. So I wasn't surprised that he offered me the job because I felt really kind of good about the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, but he called me 2 or 3 weeks later to say he was leaving the company to go to another company. And I was like, oh, ooh. He said, don't worry about your position though. You're still coming to us. Right. But I couldn't come to them for 45 days.
Oh.
So I got hired. Yeah. I got hired sometime end of January. Start date was March 1st.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's look back. Something I want people to learn from your story is for some months, it felt like you were banging your head up against the wall.
Absolutely. I was for like 4 of them. My last day was like September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So I had started looking a little bit in July because I didn't think it was going to be that difficult. It, in my own mind, I just didn't think it because I'm a positive thinker and I'm thinking to myself, I'm employable. I have this degree. I can get a job. I know I'm going to get a job.
Which happen. That's the right thinking. I don't want people to think that's not the right thinking. What I mm-hmm. think people don't realize is that no matter your age, when you have higher level degrees mm-hmm. and when you have more experience, it's going to take you a little longer to find the right role because now you're looking at more senior level roles and mm-hmm. there's less of them.
Yeah.
So it's different if you're right out of undergrad. Well, yeah, because everybody's hiring, you know, somebody who has maybe a year experience or some internships under their belt, and I can mold you and all this stuff. But now you're looking at roles that are specifically looking for your unique skill set, what you bring to the table. And so with that, it's going to take just a little more time. And I think people forget that. And one thing I, you know, told you, because I feel like you mentioned like, well, maybe I'm too old. And I was like, oh no. What mm-hmm, the devil won't do today
yeah.
is tell you that lie. Because no matter how old you are, you have to understand that even though ageism is real, there are ways to overcome that. Just like racism is real, there are ways mm-hmm. to overcome that. Just like sexism yeah. is real, there are ways to overcome that. And I know that it can feel scary being a seasoned professional and impacted by downsizing, and there is ageism, but it doesn't take away from the fact that you are a seasoned professional. And even mm-hmm. just speaking with you, I'm like, you are polished and poised to a degree that a lot of people, no matter how long they've been working, just don't have. And so because of that, I wanted you to not get discouraged in the journey. And I also wanted you to realize that a lot of times those times off are divinely ordered. Because think about all the stuff that was going on at home. And if you hadn't had that time off,
yeah, I mean, it truly was very divinely ordered. I needed to be at home. I needed to take care of my mother because she did transition in March.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a strange, it wasn't strange, but it was to show you how clearly it was defined for me to stay at home and take care of her. Mm-hmm. She literally transitioned the day I got my first paycheck.
See?
I went to the mailbox, my paycheck, the first check had to be mailed.
Right.
I went to the mailbox after going to get my hair done and came home and there was a check was in the mail. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I got $20.
Right.
And so let me go to the bank before it closes. And I got to the bank before it closed, cashed my you can't cash no check. I had to deposit it. But I got some cash back, and I felt a little good because I had, like, my first $200 free dollars. Right. Like, I didn't have anything to do with the $200. It was like, this is my $200.
Right.
And all mine, to do what I want to do with it. And the rest, was directly deposited, was going into the bank until Monday or Tuesday when they update the system. And I said, no, it's okay. Let me go see Mom. And when I got there, she had literally transitioned minutes before I got there.
Oh.
So, and I was talking to her, walked in talking to her like she was, still there. But that's, don't want to be sad about that. I'm just saying, literally, I think she transitioned when that check, when the lady put her stamp on that check and it went to the bank. Because it took me about 15 minutes to get to her from there.
Right. Right.
And then the nurse said that she had just, transitioned. So,
And I think it's one of those things where it's like, my baby's going to be all right.
She's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
She got her first paycheck, and so she's good. I can move now. So again, it was just not easy, but is there a movie? You know how they say, I was feeling real bad. The Color Purple.
Yes.
I keep picking up.
I was feeling mighty bad. We're going to put that clip.
Bad.
Well, I'm going to put that clip right here. But that is a God.
But that is a God.
Jail. Sitting in jail down nearby, done rocked to death. I know what it like, Missy. Want to go somewhere and can't. I know what it like, want to sing. Have it beat out you. I want to thank you, Miss Seeley, for everything you've done for me. I remember that day I was in the store, Miss Miller. I was feeling real down. I was feeling mighty bad. And when I see you, I know there is a God. I know there is a God.
So that's how I was feeling. So I started on this job at March 1st, and I walked into the office, and if I tell you, I could be everybody's mama, and I have to correct myself continuously, and I say, thank you, baby. Thank you, hon. Because it's not only is it not professional, but, sometimes they come to me and ask me questions, and I feel like, well, honey, come sit over here. And I was like, you can't do that, Adrienne. So I call them by their names, and I say, Julie, let me show you how to do this. So let me give you this information. And they are oftentimes I go to them and I ask for technical help because they are much more savvy than I am technically on some things. I was trying to upload a video clip yesterday, and it was too big to go from phone to phone. So I'm like, well, how do I upload it? How do I? He said, sync it with your laptop.
Right.
I'm like, duh. I'm trying to get it to my laptop, but I duh, Adrienne. Yeah, that's what you do. And of course it downloaded, but it wouldn't.
Right.
It was so funny. I kind of chuckled at myself, but I was going back to this. Let's go back. I told you this guy who hired me left.
Right.
And he said, you still have a job, not to worry. And the funny thing is the director hired somebody just like him, another 28-year-old white male, but this time he wasn't gay. He also married someone in the company, but it was a female.
Right.
So I had this new boss. He tells me all the time, you're so green. He said, but I love it. He said, because I think that he probably thinks he can really help me.
Right.
Because I have no pre-existing thoughts about this job. Because I'm literally just doing what I've been told to do and kind of following patterns and doing what I instinctively do when it comes to sales, which is take care of the customer, which is what I do well. And I know that. And so, in between that, you're trying to sell the customer things, items, et cetera. And it's not that difficult. So, we work pretty well together. Mm-hmm. He's not on my back. I see him on other people's backs. I really do see him on them. And I'm like, why is he on me like that? And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is it because of my age? that he's not on me because he feels some kind of way? Or is it that he doesn't need to be because I'm doing what he asked me to do?
It's the latter. It's definitely the latter because this isn't your first rodeo.
Right.
And there's a lot of transferable knowledge and transferable skills that you hold, especially because this is an organization that you're familiar with. And so I don't have to hold your hand or I don't have to micromanage you. Whereas even though some of those younger workers may be more tech savvy, they're not more corporate savvy.
Yeah.
So guess what's more important? And I want people who have worked a while and have experience and, you know, are of a certain age to not take that for granted. And I know it can be very intimidating, all this new tech. But at the end of the day, what the tech can't do is teach you how to be a great employee and a great team player. Tech can't teach you that. And so you may be great with the tech, but you might be just an asshole or not even really proficient at your actual job. And so what good does that do the company? So I hope that he leverages you in ways to mentor some of these younger professionals in how to be a polished professional and be confident and use the tech skills that they're teaching you, and then you use your other transferable skills and teach them and make a stronger team. If he's smart, even though he's young, if he's smart, that's what he will do.
Yeah. Well, so far, so good. Mm-hmm. He comes to me when I have successes, and he just like, yep, that's good. One day, he walked down the, we were walking toward each other, and he high-fived me. I thought, you know, because I was successful at something.
Right.
And so I was glad, too, because I was like, ooh, I've been working on that. And then to you know, finally be successful was a good thing. And, yeah, I just think that I'm just watching him because I watch how he interacts with other people. He's young too, right?
Right.
He didn't come into the team until April.
Right.
I started March. He came in April. So he's new, but he has expectations. He responds to me. He'll call me in the middle of the day or the afternoon, and I answer him. I'm responsive. I'm available to him. And I just want him to know that my age has nothing to do with what I do. I do what I do because I have this job, and he's just very receptive. So I appreciate him, but I still, you know, look at him. The other day we were at lunch sitting across the table. He was, we were with another peer who celebrated his 28th year anniversary with the company. And he said, John, I was born when you started working here. I was a baby. And he said, so I have great appreciation for your 28 years of service. And I was like, 28 years? Oh. And that's when he told his age.
Right.
I knew he was young. You know, I knew he was under 30, but how many years under 30, I couldn't tell. But most of my team, there are some older team members, but I still think probably I am the oldest. There's another guy. He's very gray. His children are grown. And he's not doing so well. They say he's struggling.
Mm.
And so I don't know why he's struggling, but one particular day I heard him talking, and I said, he thinks he knows stuff. You know, he just kind of thinks he knows it all.
Right.
But you can't. And that's never going to work. I don't care how old you are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was just about to say that because I'm 41. I know very little. And the way it's supposed to work is as you get older, you're supposed to really come into the understanding of how little you know. Because see, when you're 18, you know everything.
Yeah.
At least I thought I did.
You think you do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow older, you just start to realize the enormous amount of information that you really don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I love about what people can learn from you, Miss Adrienne, is that one, you did not rest on your laurels. You did not just get your undergrad degree, and you never stopped striving to learn. So you kept continuing your education, and now you can think of this new role as a stretch role because you are literally doing a new function, hardcore sales, that you didn't do before. And so you use your customer service skills in order to thrive in this new function, and you're learning new skills. So this is only going to add to what you want to do in the future. And so have you thought about that?
Yes, because there are other positions in the company that I would like to try to do, which is not so contingent on sales, but you still are working in a sales environment. It pays about the same, maybe a little less, but it's okay. It's still in the same avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say same street, different address.
Right.
And so, and I'm okay with that because mm-hmm. it's still on the same block.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how much longer do I have to stay in this role before I can start applying for other roles, this other role that I'm looking at, that can really use my skill set even better
right.
because it's more with managing accounts than sales.
Right.
Sales from sales, but it's managing the actual customer itself.
Right.
Relationship is still going to be important, but it's not so focused on me selling things. It's going to be mostly what we call retention.
Right. And so what you've done is you said, okay, I can do this role, get my foot in the door. I can learn a new skill, meet some new people, and then mm-hmm. I will take this opportunity and this critical skill set that I'm learning, and it'll set me up nicely for the next role that really allows me to lean into my gifts and my strengths even better. And yeah. I have a new skill set I'm bringing along. So this just, again, positions you to sell yourself even better. And it also takes away this idea that, oh, I'm too old.
I'm not too old for this shit. I'm not too old for this shit. You will not. We're not too old for this shit.
We're not too old for this shit.
We're not too old for this shit.
Say like you believe.
We're not too old for this shit.
We're not too old for this shit.
I'm not going to buy a hemorrhoid cushion.
We're not too old for this shit.
No, this means I'm the perfect person for this. And so I like the fact that you're thinking of it in that way and you're not worried about your age. And I think the biggest lesson my audience can take away from you, no matter how old you are, but especially if you feel the weight of your age in your job search, is that you have to believe in yourself and your skills. And you have to know yourself and know your skills and be able to articulate that. And that's something that you've always been able to do, Miss Adrienne.
Yeah, it was difficult, though. And I was especially distracted because my mother was sick.
Right.
With that illness, it distracted me, I admit it, because I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just too old to do this. And, you know, I was taking care of my mom, and it was an everyday, almost all day job.
Right.
And so I felt maybe I couldn't concentrate on the interview. Maybe I couldn't concentrate on, you know, prepping for the interviews. Maybe I didn't do so well on the interviews. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. I thought all those things.
Right.
Maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am. And then I had to pull myself back in and say, but I am.
Right.
I'm as smart as I am. And they're just missing an opportunity. And the funny, I went to a, what they call a road show. So I got with other people that had my position in the company, and I got to meet two people that had interviewed me and denied me a job.
Hmm.
And when they said, I was like, hi, I'm Adrienne, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, your voice sounds familiar. Where did I meet you? And I said, I've interviewed with you. And they both kind of look like, okay, that's why. So one guy, he couldn't remember it, right? He couldn't remember it. And he sat down, he thought about it. He started going through his email. I could tell because I saw him on his phone looking through his email.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back to me. He said, I know who you are. He said, I know who you are. He said, welcome to the company. How long have you been here? And I told him I started in March. And he said, how do you like where you are? And I said, I'm still learning. I don't have an answer yet. And he said, well, if you ever want to change, let me know. He said, because I wanted to hire you, but my manager wouldn't let me because you didn't have experience.
Right.
He said, but now you're leveraging differently. You now have experience because you're working it. So we have some openings coming up next year. I know they are.
Mm-hmm.
He said, keep my number. Stay in front of me. If you want to make a change, you want to come over, let me know.
And now because you're back in the company, it's just going to be that much easier. And so this is being strategic, right? This is playing chess. And what I love about you, Ms. Adrian, is I don't even know if you realize how good you are at navigating corporate America, even through a layoff.
Yeah, I don't. Because because I look at this, so I have a goal, right? I have to retire at some point. I'm not going to work until I just fall out. That's not my goal. Mm-hmm. So I have a plan. And one thing I know about me is when I get this plan in my head and I have to do something, I get it done.
Right.
Because I just, and it's always happened that way. I tell my children all the time. And, you know, one of my daughters is interviewing today as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, all things work together for good. Because you are that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
You're a chip off the old block. You're never going to be unsuccessful. You're always going to do well because you have that grace. You've always, even through grammar school, even when they were, you know, picking colleges, they went to the college they wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Who has choices like that? Everybody doesn't have that choice.
Right.
My children have always had choices. So I just believe that walking and talking and believing and you know, listening to people, watching people, because I'm observing how this stuff works. And people are so open to tell me things. It's so funny that all the guys, also not very many females in my role. It's two black females in my role, one black male, and about 10 white males.
Oh, wow.
So we're in a very minority organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept thinking to myself, why is this 28-year-old white guy hire me? He needs a black woman. And then I was like, well, he could have hired any black woman,
That's true.
But he hired me because he felt that I had the ability to learn and get the job and do it.
And here you are killing it.
Here I am.
Yes. You know what I love about this? So at the top of the show, I read an email I got from Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was responding to a show that probably happened back in April. And I don't remember exactly what show she was writing about, but I'm sure I gave advice about, you know, looking for jobs or transitioning or what have you. And I could tell that she is going through the same thing. Like, you know, she's seeing that younger people are getting more of the opportunities. She kept it all the way true because she was like, you know, I think your podcast this week ignores this huge glaring problem for older women workers who no longer make the boss's dick hard. And I was like,
yeah,
this sounds like something my grandma would have said.
But
how would you respond to her as probably more of your peer? What advice would you give Kimberly as she's working on her next opportunity?
So, Kimberly, you don't want to make the boss's dick hard.
I know that's right.
You really don't, Kimberly.
Right.
But that's another problem. You just layered the problem that you already think you have, which is your age. So we don't want to do that. Because if we make his dick hard, then that means now we got to play. And now we got some other things going on because we have some potential sexual harassment issues at our door, and we don't want to deal with that. What you want your boss to see is that you have skills, you have the ability, and you want him to admire your skill set. So you want him to smile when he comes into the room because he knows that you're doing your thing, you're doing your job. So, yeah, I don't want to get my dog to be fired at all. He's 28. What am I going to do with that?
Not a damn thing.
Not nothing, girl. Lord, yeah, nothing. So, no, I don't want that. But I do. The director now, who didn't hire me, he's aging. I can tell that he's in his 50s. And I want to be respected. I never thought about getting my bosses, you know, arousing him or having to appealing to him physically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's my advice.
And that's not what you want. And I think she thinks that that's what the younger women, that's how they're getting their opportunities. And that's not it. Like, mm-mm. Kimberly,
no.
I see how you could feel that way, but that's not why. And so what you need to focus on is, again, what do you bring to the table? Have you created your value statement? And do you clearly understand and are able to articulate the skills and experience that distinguishes you from other candidates? And then you just have to keep trying. You have to stay out there and keep working at landing where you're supposed to land. And then the other thing is you have to realize it's all in God's timing. It's all orchestrated. Mm-hmm. And I know some people don't believe in God, but I don't care who you are or how old you are. That holds true. And maybe while you have this time off, there is something for you to do or something that you need to be learning in this time so that you can move on to the next step in your career. And it might be, quite frankly, something in your personal life. So like for Miss Adrian, her mom was sick. Her husband was going through a health issue. And so they needed her. And if you have been working and having to deal with all of that, how much pressure would that have been on you?
It would have been a lot of pressure because I wouldn't have been able to concentrate on a job. Even though the job that I had been doing it a while and it was easy, but it was still work. Mm-hmm. So when I worked hard, it wasn't because I worked hard at thinking. I just worked hard at the task itself.
Right. And so sometimes you have to take a step back and not get caught up in the fear of not getting another job. Oh, no, you're going to get another job. You're going to work. Why? Because the bills need to be paid. And I always truly believe that the universe will conspire in your favor. You always just have to believe and have faith in yourself. And I think the only thing I really helped you with, Miss Adrian, during that time is reminding you of all these things that you already knew. You just needed somebody outside of yourself to tell your brain to, hey, calm down, chill out. It's going to be okay.
I would agree. I did need that because I remember when we talked about that job that this guy kept saying I was in the running for. Mm-hmm. And you were like, you have that job. You got that job. He would not. And I'm thinking, yeah. And then he sent me a very form letter. Thank you. You did your best. You were one of my top picks. I started thinking, what? This is not the slave trade where you line me up and figure out which one are you going to pick based on my good teeth and my strong arm.
Right.
No. You missed it. And so funny, the guy who actually referred me, I met him face to face too. I had been in conversations with him, but had never met him. I finally got to meet him, and he was saying, I was watching you, Adrian, because he allowed me to use his name as a referral on my application trying to get back into this company. And he said, I was watching you. He said, I was saying, Adrian's going to get a job because she is doing her thing. She wouldn't let it go. She was applying to these jobs because I guess they would go back and ask him for a reference or ask, you know, if I had legitimately used his name. And he always said that he would give them good information to hire me. And so, yeah, he said he was impressed with my tenacity to just keep going, to keep applying and don't stop.
Never give up.
Right. And so, I'm glad I got back in.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people are glad you're back there. Hell, if I could afford you, I'd hire you. I just can't afford you.
I understand.
Here's the the deal I want everybody to understand. Miss Adrian, although you're very special to us, you are not a unique case. Like, what God does for one, he will do for the other. So I want your story today to be an inspiration to anyone out there struggling, especially if you have adult kids, if you feel the weight of ageism as you're trying to navigate your career, as it's coming, you know, to the latter years of your career. And I want you to remember that it really truly is timing and being consistent and being tenacious and not giving up. And to remind yourself that you're a polished professional and be confident in who you are and what you bring to the table. And you will land the right opportunities no matter what your age. And Miss Adrian, you are a true testament to that. And so I want to thank you for coming on the show today, sharing your story and giving those tips. Like, one thing I really want people to understand, like you said, I don't really talk about how old my kids are because it has no benefit. It has no reason to have people, you know, like you said, doing the mental math in their heads. Like, that's not what's important. One thing I love that you said is I stay focused on what the job is. And I talk about that and what I bring to that. And yeah, I share a little bit about me, but not so much that you, you know, not stay focused on the main thing.
Right.
So I love that. Are there any other tips or tricks you want to share before I let you go and have your awesome day?
Well, in my interview process, I always, as professional as I can be, I always tried, and not it wasn't difficult to do, is to bring the person to something that they valued. Like, make it, you know, make it personal.
Right.
So when I went into the last interview, I looked at this guy. He was sizing me up, but I was sizing him up. I was thinking to myself, can I work for this man? Does he, you know, is he going to treat me fairly? Is he going to, you know, be someone that's going to be not easy to work with, but workable?
Right.
Is he going to give me what I need? Is he going to give me the tools and the leadership that I need to get through this job? And I felt that he did. Because if I didn't feel that he would, I can't say that I would take the job just because I was desperate for a job. Because worst case scenario is working for someone that even though you get all the money, but you get nothing else.
Right.
You're unhappy. You're not growing. You see no growth potential. You see that they don't believe in you. And so I had to know that that was the case. The fear that I had, a little bit of fear when he said he was leaving, because I didn't know who I was going to work for.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, who are they bringing in? They brought in somebody just like him. And one of the guys on the job told me, he keeps hiring these young guys, these young white guys, to do these, you know, do these real big positions. My position is a manager too, but he's a director. And the other black guy said, girl, he just hires all these young people all the time. You know, we're left behind. He has to keep us. And I said, but we bring something to it. Because when I go see customers, they have a level of respect because I respected them.
Amen. This just warms my heart and makes me happy because this is just proof that we tell ourselves these limiting beliefs. Oh, my age is going to stop me, or oh, my race is going to stop me, or oh, my gender is going to stop me, or oh, my sexual orientation is going to stop me. Those are things that we're telling ourselves. Stop telling yourself those lies. Because look at Miss Adrian. She stopped telling herself those lies. And here she is collecting her check, getting new skills, having a good time, and opening up more doors and more opportunity for next year and the year after that. So stay woke, stay focused, and stop letting limiting beliefs stop you from your career journey. That is the biggest takeaway from this episode. So Ms. Adrian, any last words of advice for our listeners before we wrap up?
Just stay focused. Be faithful. Believe in yourself. If you do, it'll happen for you. no matter what your age is.
Amen. I feel like that was a prayer. Amen. Now,
amen.
If you need some help or advice about specific work situations, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. Even if it's a layoff, like Miss Adrian, she called me up. She said, hey, my daughters don't want to talk to me about this. And they gave me your number. And of course, I'm able and happy to be able to help. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. So again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me. Or you can email me like Kimberly did at ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. And as always, you guys, I want you to have a great week. And stop telling yourself things that are limiting you. Be positive. Go out there. Make it happen. And while you're making it happen, subscribe, rate, review. Hit me up on social media at TrillMBA Show. I'm everywhere on all the socials. Email me. I love to hear from you guys. And email me good stories. Email me bad stories. Email me whatever you want to email me. Just don't curse me out. Okay. As always, I want you guys to have a great week and keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production, executive produced by Felicia and Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.